Well, God's grace and mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of our sins. That hymn we just sang may not be in the most notable of tunes, but it's a grand sermon or message for the church. It is kind of a sermon in prayer that really talks about what's the application of all of Jesus in our lives. What is this calling that Jesus had for Jonah and the disciples and the others living out their faith? And this hymn really gives a testimony of the application of what it means to be in God's grace. And how does this flow out of this? So I give you that hymn to take home and look at and really figure out, where am I in this? Resting in God's grace is where we really always are. And being in God's grace is a beautiful place because we're in a world that is always asking for more. Let's look at our Bible verse today from Romans 4:16, where it talks about this rest upon God's grace. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. Everything that God has is resting. His guarantees, his power, his promises comes into our lives as grace. As we take each weekend here till we get to Transfiguration Sunday, we're looking at another facet, another side of the gem of the great and astounding doctrine of God's grace given to his people. And today we find that grace is a place where we can truly rest. This past week, a friend of mine asked, well, how are you doing on burnout? You know, and you know, the complaining answer, that sinful nature answer is, well, this and complain about that, and yeah, I'm tired of this. But when you give the answer through Jesus, the answer is, it's pretty wonderful. God's grace is amazing. He does so many wonderful things. When we speak through God's grace, joy and peace comes out. When we speak through our unsatisfied sinful nature that moans and groans, it's a welcome pity party. I'm glad you asked. Here's what I can complain about. And God's grace moves us into a spot of rest in a world that needs more. You know, the government wants more taxes. Right? The kids want more stuff in their rooms and in the house. The spouse wants more attention. The parents want more visits from the kids. There's wanting of more and more and more. There's more that we want to give into our community. And then there's the church, right? We need more attendance. We need more committees. We need more discussion. We need more money. We need more things happening around here. More and more and more. And it just kind of wears you out when you cry out for more. But in God's grace, we give Jesus. That's the big thing. The world wants more stuff, activities, and things. The church gives Jesus. Remember the children of Israel? We need more bricks. Give them less straw. We need more bricks. Give them less material. We need more bricks to build it higher and higher, and slavery and whips and 400 years. And their cry is finally going to go out. And God's going to come in with grace and move them from a world that is demanding more to a place of grace, of flowing with milk and honey. Of course, this is that foretaste of our own spiritual lives, of being pulled out of bondage and delivered to heaven, the place where there is eternal rest, that eternal Sabbath in Christ in heaven. But in the here and now, we find our rest in the grace of God. In a world that says, here's my opinion, God's grace says, here is Jesus. Because if you think about it, people really don't want to know your opinion. They want to give you their own opinion, but they're not too excited to hear your opinion, right? As a general rule, not many people are really sitting down and saying, what's your opinion on this? But what Jesus does through us is he gives us grace in the midst of a world of rules. He said to the children of Israel, I'm going to bring you out from under the burden of these Egyptians. I am going to deliver you into a place of grace. Same message that he gives to us. He says, you are going to be taken away from your slavery and I am going to redeem you with an outstretched arm. Now, this is exactly what we have in our lives. Delivered from the bondage of rules and regulations and opinions into this opportunity of being eternally blessed in God's grace, redeemed for us by Christ who outstretched his arms by his own blood. The same way the children of Israel got out of the demands of more bricks through the blood of the Lamb, we are pulled out of the whole world of rules and regulations, of crying out, we want more, by the blood of the Lamb, God's own Son, Jesus Christ. He worked it all the way through. He had to go through all the plagues and the suffering and to try and do all these things with the blood and the water and the boils and the frogs and the gnats and finally the slaying of the firstborn son, pointing right into our own lives as God's firstborn son was our redemption, his blood, so that we are moved from the rules and regulations to do more with less, to be people living in grace. For the sake of others, living in God's grace. Because a lack of grace, when we are living in the rules and regulations of opinion, it's always going to move us into bitterness. It's always going to separate. It's always going to send people packing. It's always going to send people into different rooms. Bitterness is what the world has to offer. I want more. I need more. Get me more. And oftentimes, the church is the brunt of this. Well, you're the church. You're the one that needs to be giving more. And we get this guilt placed upon us. Then that feeds more bitterness even within the church. And so God's word today is to replace that bitterness with God's grace of rest. Because we too get tired. We're tired of stuff in our own lives, and we can get fed up and angry and mad and frustrated and disappointed and bitter. But God's grace comes upon us in the midst of life's circumstances. We present Jesus. In a world of rules and regulations and opinions of how everything should go and happen, we bring in Jesus' presence, bringing in his great love, his great power. I got one example of where I really saw this happen at the very power of the name of Jesus. Is I was in, I was in a jail area with two police officers and a bad guy. I was serving as the police chaplain. So I wasn't in jail yet. We're doing something wrong. So, and the two officers were quite bitter that this man did what he did. And they wanted to throw the book at him, literally. There was a lot of, it's like, what do you think? They're just mad and angry. And so I'm in the situation, I just kind of said, well, where's Jesus in all this? And the three people, everything changed. From being bitter at each other, the power of grace of God in Jesus kind of toned everything down, and we brought everything into the same page of God's grace. Yeah, you did wrong, you're sorry about it, but there's consequences to this, and we're going to carry through on that, but we don't need to really be bitter at each other anymore. Let's just do what we need to do for the sake of the cause where God has called each of us in this situation. Bitterness makes sure your opinion wins. Grace glorifies God. Grace always results in forgiveness. Forgiveness that heals relationships. A broken relationship between God and you healed by forgiveness. Broken relationship between a parent and child healed by forgiveness. Broken relationships and marriages healed by forgiveness. And it is painful and as sad as it is, that takes that energy of forgiveness. Forgiveness reunites. Rules and regulations are always going to separate. Try it. Figure it out. Go back in your life history and really discover how forgiveness won the day in your relationship between God and yourself. How forgiveness wins the day between you and your relationships. How forgiveness wins the day. How bringing up past sins, bringing up historical accounts, and feeding that fire of bitterness. Now, forgiveness brings the relationship together to strengthen it and cause it to be even more beautiful in the sake of love and care. Grace brings Jesus into that situation where it's least expected and brings forgiveness. The beauty of all this is that we are in a world that's broken and needs rules. And then in comes grace in a world of rules. And now we get the privilege to glorify God. Now remember Jonah in our reading here? He's like, oh, I'm going to get to Tarshish. This isn't for me. I'm going a different direction. And then, of course, God painstakingly gives him the 10 plagues off the storm, off the ship, into the fish, burped up on the beach, and then finally grace coming in and leading to where he needs to go. The fishermen there is like, we're just minding our own business. What's this whole Jesus? Come follow me. I'll give you your job description. Don't worry about you taking on your own job description. I got your job description. Come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men, all my disciples. That's what we do. It's that privilege of being blessed by God. And then in our epistle reading, everyone's doing their career. They're doing this. We're following this and this relationship and that relationship. I've got this to worry about and that. But all the ways of the world. And Jesus, no, that's not how it rolls. We are people of grace. And we rest in that. We don't got to get wound up about the rules and regulations that wear us out. Jesus pushed so heavily in this, and the Pharisees just always end up scratching their head. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. He said, the rules are to be a blessing to us, not something that tears us apart. It's a privilege to be in the grace of God and be Jesus in the midst of a world of rules. Because the rules are always going to be there, calling out for more, more, and more. The privilege is to be Jesus in the midst of all of the rules. One of the great passages of Hebrews 13 where it says, do not be led away. Don't be led away by these diverse and these strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Bring it into grace. Don't add on and add on more rules and regulations in order to create peace. As remember, that's why we have rules and regulations. They keep people in check and in order. But the church now is given grace in the midst of all these situations. Grace upon grace where you don't expect it to be. Grace comes into these situations and it brings a situation of love and care. And blessed are those who are those peacemakers. Blessed are those who are long-suffering. We tend not to like to bring grace to the situations because it's so hard work. It's so much easier just to have the rule and regulations and be done with it. But grace comes in and you're Jesus in that situation. That is the calling of the church. Because rules and regulations are always going to separate. They build walls in order to create peace. You know, to have peace in our situation where we can rest and relax. And that's not how it rolls. And we get an example of that, the separation in our own world. The wall has been done to separate and create better peace for us. One of the more recent walls that creates peace in our nation now around the capital. This is what the world has to offer, barbed wire and guns for peace. Grace is the antidote to what the world offers for peace. Remember Jeremiah, peace, peace, there is no peace. But grace is what creates peace. When you bring Jesus into the relationship of who you are, resting in a world of regulations and being Christ's love in those situations. Grace removes the walls and it presents the love of Christ Jesus. For we preach Christ Jesus crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. We proclaim his good news into our lives so that we can be God's grace in these situations to encourage and build and love in all of our relationships. one of the greatest creatures on earth that gives grace that we can learn from, and many of you have these in your house, is your dog. For some reason, God has taught dogs grace for us to learn from. Grace removes these walls, and through the loyalty to the gospel, the loyalty to the power of Jesus, the loyalty of God coming into us with the forgiveness of sins, he graces us into our relationships. He says, you've got this. You can do this. Well, how? Live in your baptism, the forgiveness of sins, and that's a great, powerful source. Every single day, you are baptized to be empowered to be grace in your situations. Live in the body and blood of Jesus. We receive that on a regular basis. That empowers us to be grace. Well, I don't know if I can be grace. By the power of God's body and blood in me and in the power of baptism, I can be grace in this situation. I can relinquish what I think are the rules that need to happen and simply be a listener of grace and peace. By the power of God's word that we engage with on a regular basis, by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us, by the encouragement of our brothers and sisters that pray for us and love us, we are sent into our relationships with grace every single time. An ungrateful heart will find you stewing somewhere. Stewing in your home, stewing in your car, stewing about a neighbor about something, you're stewing. The great author Max Lucado writes, whenever a person steps into your life, they will bring pain unless they're basking in grace. Basking in grace is what we bring to a world of pain that doesn't know how to do anything else but to cry out for more of something. And we enter into their lives with peace and grace. Not so many rules and regulations. We like to say, well, here's what you need to do. We like to say, well, here's your solution. We listen to give them information that they usually don't apply to their lives, and we get frustrated with them, rather than gracing them with God's presence. Being the presence of Jesus in situations where he is least expected is where miracles happen. When you go into a situation to give your advice and your wisdom, it's informational. Not too many miracles. But in a world that needs the miracles of God's grace, he's doing it through us in amazing ways. So grace is designed to give us rest and not fear and anxiety and stirring and stewing and writhing of our hands. We can rest in God's grace knowing that he's got us taken care of. The great forgiveness, the great whole thing of life everlasting. He says, you don't need to make any more bricks with lust material. I've got your land taken care of, the land flowing with milk and honey of everlasting life where there is peace, where you need not worry about the tears and the anxiety. Grace brings us into a rest that when we talk about who we are through grace, we're empowered. When we talk about who we are in fear, we are always going to be stunted. So he gives us this great rest rather than the anxiety of yelling out for more. He gives us rest rather than always being dissatisfied with everything that's happening in my circumstances. One of the ways we talk through this is that we have Christ himself, we have this gift of faith that is connected to us, and then we also have our life situations which are connected to our faith walk. So our faith brings Jesus into our life situations. Our dissatisfaction holds Jesus to a church service on Sunday or maybe a devotion here and there, and apart from our movement in our everyday lives. We go back to our hymn, our sermon hymn today, and we look at that. We see that faith is intersecting with God's grace. Finally, in Nineveh, Jonah arrived in God's grace, and he saw the miracles happen. Finally, the disciples gave up their rules and regulations of how this is going to go down, and they gave everything up, let it be, and they began to make disciples. fishers of men and women. Finally, the people who were fretting about all their relationships and what they're going to do and how it's going to be handled in our epistle reading, they gave it all up for the grace of God and the rest that comes in that grace. It moved us from a world of crying out for more, a world of dissatisfaction, a world that we're here in your face and you're going to know about it, into a world that brings the grace of God into our relationships in a restful way rather than the power. Grace brings us rest. Power brings exhaustion. Here's what I think. Here's how I want it. Here's my way. Here, you know, the power. It's always going to lead to exhaustion. Resting in God's grace, He's doing the miracles through you. What are the situations in your life where you need to be Jesus' grace in them? Rather than having it being torn apart, separating with power plays and guns and ammunition and past history and all that kind of stuff, where is the power of God's grace needed most in your life situations that unites and loves and builds so we get in that spot in our relationships where we are Jesus happening in the lives of others? That's the multiplying and bearing of fruit in dealing with God's way of calling us into His kingdom, into His marvelous light, saved by grace in order to be grace. Not saved by grace as in our epistle reading to do whatever you want. Not saved by grace as in our Old Testament reading to go the direction you want. Not saved by grace as in our gospel reading to just kind of wonder, well, what's next? No, to be grace. Rested grace in God's love. Not a burnout grace where you're striving to hang on and survive and flailing at the water. What is next around the corner? But grace that sees the joy of our salvation, the new mercies of God's grace every morning, saved by God's grace to be God's grace in the lives of hundreds of people, that when you interact with them, they will see grace. The world calls for rules and regulations. We get that. But what a unique spot to be by the grace of Jesus Christ and being His love for the sake of that other person to be blessed. This is the calling of the church. In Jesus' holy name, may you truly apply God's grace as given to us, played out for us in our lives in the sermon hymn. May you truly take it and be that grace, getting past what the world has to offer and being God's love along the way. So that means we have to try the stooping as we talked about last week. We got to try stooping. Being the lowest person in the room rather than demanding to be the power person in the room. Power separates. Stooping in grace bears fruit. In Jesus' holy name, amen.